another day, another dollar makes you wonder where your money went.
You can scream. Hi, this is Jack Spierko with another edition of the Survival Podcast. One man's view of the changing world and changing times, and the things that we can do to adapt to them to live a better life if times get tough, or even if they don't. You got me on an afternoon today in quite sunny Dallas-Fort Worth on my trip from Frisco back south to Arlington, Texas. And the thermometer in the car, which has proven to be quite accurate when tested, says it's 108 degrees today. If you're not from the South, if you've never been in the real South, and you've never experienced 108 degrees, all I can tell you is it's the type of temperature that you really have to experience to appreciate. One good thing we've got going on is this huge high-pressure system, which is why it's so hot, but because of that, it's also extremely dry. The dry heat theory only holds up so far, but you know, it's actually decent in the shade, even at 108 degrees today, but in the sun it's just miserable. So I got on down the road about halfway home. I'm trying to make this a shorter episode, and I did that so I could get the car completely cooled down so I could turn the AC down so that there wouldn't be a lot of wind noise, and try to keep the background noise minimal for you guys on this podcast. Today's podcast is on one of my favorite subjects, that of situational awareness. And it's something that I think really gets overlooked by a lot of people, doesn't get discussed a lot. And in my day-to-day travels and dealing with people, I realize how absent it is in most people. And what I mean by situational awareness is just that, being aware at all times of the situation you're in and your surroundings and what you would do if something went wrong at any given time. And a way to think about this is, like, right now I'm driving, and I've been asked a lot of times, like, you know, how do you manage to do this? How can you possibly do a podcast while you drive? And I can tell you that I'm still immensely situationally aware of what's going on around me. I don't have to look at anything. I do this kind of all out of my head. Sometimes I have a little outline that I can glance at once in a while. But mostly, while I'm talking to you, I'm doing what you do when you drive. I'm looking at all the vehicles around me. I'm paying attention to what's in front of me, what's behind me, what's to my left and to my right. I'm paying attention to the brake lines of the vehicles in front of me. And most people drive that way. If you didn't, you'd have a lot of wrecks. And people that have a lot of wrecks are just driving mindlessly. But most people, when they're driving, they have a little bit, at least, of heightened awareness. And the other thing they do is they trust their instincts, their gut. You see a guy waiting to pull out. You know he shouldn't pull out. You know that it's not right for him to pull out. You know that there's no reason for him to pull out in front of you. But you also get a feeling, and the foot starts to move to the brake and off the gas because you know he's going to do it. And he doesn't always do it, but sometimes he does. And trusting that instinct and being prepared for it is what enables you to avoid the collision, right? Basic driving 101. The problem is that as soon as people get out of the vehicle, they throw a switch, they turn it off, they stop paying attention to what's around them. And my wife, who I love dearly, probably has the lowest situational awareness of any human being on the planet. We'll be out somewhere, and we're going across the street where there's still some vehicles moving, and she'll walk instead of running across the street, or at least maybe going out and try picking up the pace. And it's like, there's cars coming, you gotta move, right? Well, she drives, she's as situationally aware as anybody could possibly be. And it's people like that that I really want to talk to today, and even some people that I know that are very much of a preparedness mindset. They have very, very poor situational awareness on a day-to-day basis. And I want to talk about situational awareness in many different aspects today and give you some ideas of ways that you can improve your situational awareness and live a safer and a better life because of this. First and foremost, and I think that a lot of people have problems with this one, not everyone is your friend, okay? If we were to say that 1% of people are bad people, only 1%, and I think that number's higher, and the number of people in our prison system would tell you that it is, because that's only a small fraction of the people that do things wrong and get caught and end up there. But if it was 1%, there's a million people running around the United States that mean you harm. That's a lot of people. And your odds of running into one of those people or crossing paths with one of those people on a daily basis are quite high. Now, the odds that you're actually going to have a situation where they're going to harm you or do something to you or steal from you are relatively low. Most people aren't robbed or mugged on a daily basis or, you know, assaulted or stolen from or whatever. Right? But the reality is you probably cross the path of someone. If you cross more than 100 people's path a day, just in driving, walking, going to the store, going to work, who is a bad person? You need to get that in your head right now, that some portion of the population are bad dudes or bad women too, right? And you need to accept that. And a lot of, I don't mean to talk down to the females out there, but a lot of women seem to have a bigger problem with this than men. Now, women will be the ones who will have a heightened sense of concern, like in a dark parking lot or something like that. But in a well-lit public place, or dealing with somebody in a business deal even, they seem to like feel like, well, he wouldn't do anything wrong, or she wouldn't do anything wrong. Trust me, folks, not everybody is your friend. That's key one to good situational awareness. Now, I'm not talking about being paranoid. I'm not talking about, you know, not being willing to help people. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just saying you got to understand that there are people out there that could be walking next to you on the street right now. You could have your earbuds in, your iPod going, be walking down a well-lit public street where business is done on a daily basis, and the guy standing right next to you could be a thief or a killer. And that's just reality. And if you just understand that, don't run around paranoid, but it'll heighten your ability to pay attention and your perception of what's going on around you. I want to tell you a real brief story of my wife's lack of situational awareness and how I believe my situational awareness may have prevented us from being mugged, killed, or worse. We were living just north of a small town called Allentown in Pennsylvania. Now, Allentown, back when I was a kid growing up in rural Pennsylvania, was kind of a really kind of nice blue-collar community, kind of an upper middle class of the blue-collar community before the steel bust. Today, Allentown and many parts of Allentown are still nice, but a lot of parts of Allentown have really slid into really what I would call a slum status. And we needed to get some work, and I think to a vacuum cleaner, we needed some parts or something. We looked up a store, and the only place that had parts for this brand of vacuum cleaner were like downtown. So we went down there, we really weren't sure where we were, and we parked at a place, and it looked like a decent place. And we parked because we thought we were closer to realize that we were like 4 blocks away. But it was nice out, so we just got out of the car, parallel parked, got out of the car, started walking down a sidewalk. We walked about a half a block, and we passed a group of men, and I, you know, won't say any more than that, but a group of young men, and they looked like decent guys. Okay, they looked like they meant no harm to us whatsoever. But I was wearing a very nice gold watch and a gold ring, and my wife was wearing her wedding rings. And as we walked by them, they looked at us, and we just say that we didn't fit in with that particular part of town. And then they looked directly at my arm, and they looked at my guy, like the kind of guy that looked like he was like the lead guy there. And he wasn't a gang member, I don't mean that. Just kind of the guy that seemed to be in charge of the group, looked at my watch, looked at my ring, glanced to my wife, and looked at me, and shrugged his shoulders. All right? In a very non-threatening way. This guy was tipping me off, folks. What he was saying to me is, I don't mean you any harm, and these guys here don't mean you any harm, but buddy, you're making a mistake walking through this part of town like that with your woman. I grabbed her by the arm, I spun her around, I walked her back to the truck, we drove to the front of the store, we went directly in, we went directly out, and we got out of the area. All right. My wife called that a gross overreaction. She thought I was just making a mountain out of a molehill. Trust me, folks, I looked into the crime statistics for that area of town later on, and absolutely, that was the right thing, and I believe absolutely that guy communicated to me in 10 seconds with his eyes information because he was a decent guy that was actually saying, hey man, this is not the place for you to be like this right now. You shouldn't be where you are. Bad place. Take it or leave it, you know? And like I said, nothing against this guy whatsoever. He was communicating to me, and I'm grateful that he did. And that's part of situational awareness. It's not just IDing the threats, but if you're in a situation where you're kind of the outsider, being able to be perceptive the way other people are looking at you to tell you that maybe you're making a mistake. It's very, very important. I also want to talk about just general situational awareness in any place, any public place. And I'm talking mostly here places that you go to that you're going to kind of stay for a while. Specifically like restaurants. I hate to say this anymore, but even churches. We had a church shooting here in Texas a few years ago where somebody walked into church and opened fire. Any place where you're in a crowd or your immediate way out of a place may be difficult or something can go wrong. A shopping mall, anywhere that you go, even a street, but I mean usually with a street you're kind of moving or what have you, but any place you're stationary, you really need to do a couple things. The first thing you need to do is identify what the most possible potential threats would be. I hate to say this, but if you're in a mall anymore or a school or anything like that, the potential that some madman might start taking shots at you is always there. All right? The other things that could happen is a terrorist attack. Let's let all that go. Let's say it's a weather emergency, a tornado. If you're in a part like where we live in Texas, tornadoes are always a threat. Or some type of electrical or fire. Anything that could go wrong in that situation. What are the most likely things that could happen? Again, this is not paranoia. This is not walking around on eggshells. It's just a simple acceptance of the world that we live in has certain dangers. And you look around and you go, okay, well, there could be a fire. If there was a fire, it most likely would come from this area. If there was some kind of threat from outside, it would be like this. If somebody walked in here and decided to open fire, it would probably come from there. If somebody's going to rob this place, this is probably where they would be. And then the next step to kind of is like look around and identify exits. How do you get the hell out of there the most expedient way possible? And how do you usher people that are with you out of there too if they're not situationally aware? You know, if I look around and I go, okay, this is a bad situation, we need to get out of here, kind of how do I guide my wife to get her out of there as quickly as possible since she's likely to tell me that I'm overreacting? And folks, I've never had to shove her out of a place before other than that one story I just told you. So again, not paranoia, just I do think that way because I know that sometimes I'm going to be with other people who aren't going to be in a situation where, or may not know what to do. I mean, the other thing you have to do is you have to identify cover spots. If somebody started shooting, maybe you can't just make a mad dash to the door. Where could you take cover? How could you begin moving, keeping cover between you and the threat, heading for the exit? Because you don't, in that situation, you don't lay down on the floor and take cover. That's when these guys start walking around and shooting people that are laying around taking cover. That's what happened to the kids in Columbine. Those guys should have been jumping out of windows. I don't care if they're two stories up when that was going on. All right? Cops should have been coming into the door. That was all situational awareness going on there. All right? And that's important to understand. And it's just important to start thinking, how can I get cover and how can I get moving and how can I get out of here? In the military, they taught us cover and concealment are your friends. Cover is something that prevents somebody from seeing you. But if somebody takes a shot at you, you're not actually protected. All right? So thin, soft skates. Hard things that actually would stop a bullet are cover. Beyond concealment or cover, right? So a lot of times in a restaurant or whatever, you may not have actual cover. You may only have to be dealing with concealment, so it's important to keep moving. Move and get out. Those are the most important things. And then the other thing to understand is just to have that movement planned in your head. To already have in your head, if something goes wrong, this is one way out, this is another way out. If I have to get out of here quickly, but I don't have to worry about somebody shooting at me, for instance, so I just have to move quick because there's a fire or some other emergency. The most expedient way out is that way, and the second most expedient way out is that way. If I need to do this undercover, then I'm going to take this route or this route, all right, and just have that in your head. Just very simple things. Usually that takes me about 30 to 60 seconds when I walk into a place where I'm going to sit down and have a meal, let's say, to make that plan for myself. But at least that way, if something goes wrong, immediately I'm responsive, immediately I know what to do, and immediately I'm on the move, and I'm taking people with me as well. And again, just think about driving. When you drive, you're looking all the time, you're planning all the time, you're estimating distances all the time, you're estimating speeds all the time, you're watching for brake lights, you're looking at other drivers. When you cross the street, you're not just looking at a car that's letting you cross because he slowed down, you look that driver in the eyes and he goes, this guy's slowing down because he's looking for a place to park and he might speed up any minute, or does he actually see me and is he allowing me to cross? Just those types of things. If you keep that in your head, all of this stuff gets really, really easy. The next thing I want to talk about is kind of a broader situational awareness. The weather, for instance. I don't know how many people only check the weather maybe once or twice a week just to see is it going to rain on Thursday, right? I check the weather every morning. I check the weather around lunchtime. And I check the weather before I drive home. even when it looks like everything's going to be sunny and beautiful. Because I know I live in a hot spot for tornadoes. That's my biggest regional threat, is a tornado. And where you live, it might not be a threat at all. If you live in Idaho, they don't have a lot of freaking tornadoes in Idaho. Your threat might be more along the lines of blizzards and snowstorms, or other types of storms, or flash flooding, depending on where you live. Wherever you live, though, there's probably some weather risk, and it's a good idea to stay in touch with that. Even a weather risk that wouldn't be, let's say, a major emergency, knowing that something's coming, like a major thunderstorm. It's not going to blow anybody's roof off, and we're not going to have 4-pound hailstones knocking people in the head and killing them, and there's not a tornado risk, but there's going to be a major heavy rain thunderstorm. That may tell you that maybe something you had planned is not a good idea that day and keep yourself from putting yourself into a risky situation, or at least have a plan on what to do when the weather turns bad. So just checking the weather a few times a day. One of my listeners emailed me about a thing called Weatherbug. I used that a while ago. I may try it again. When I first used it, it was very annoying. It just felt like it was always in my face and bothering me. I considered it a form of spyware, so I uninstalled it, and I may try it again, but that would be another option that you would have. But it's important to just know what's going on and what's coming in the next couple hours, at least, from a weather standpoint. That, again, will help you make better planning and better choices along the way. Another thing to do is keep informed about the news, the global threats, and the global economy, and the local economy, and the national economy. I've had people recently on the blog say, hey, I wish you would do more on individual preparedness, and less on the growing economic threat, the meltdown of the banks, the debt of the Social Security system, etc. But let me tell you something, folks. I am going to try to give you what you guys ask for, because that's my job here, to serve my audience. But on the other side of that, I'm still going to do things on those things, because you can't prepare for a threat that you do not understand. You can't plan to survive a system that you do not understand. And it is important for you to be situationally aware of things like, hey, you know what? Oil just dropped for a couple days, went down like 10 bucks in one day. Gas prices just came down like 30 cents on average across the U.S. People are starting to feel a little tiny bit of relief. Hey, don't get comfortable with it. Oil went up another buck and a half today. It's on its way back up. It's a momentary response to the presidential dictate that we're going to go ahead and drill in the continental shelf. Right? That oil's not coming for years. It had a momentary suppression of the market because of speculation, and now the market's going to go right back to the way it was. If you don't stay aware of things like that, you don't know what's going on. You don't know why things are occurring. If you don't stay abreast of, let's say, what's going on right now between Israel and Iran, for instance, you know, you don't realize that maybe certain times it's time to step up certain aspects of your preparedness. Maybe it's time to go out, you know, and I'm not saying this is right now, but you may come across someone that says, you know what, I'm going to go out and buy about 10 jerry cans, 5-gallon cans, and I'm going to put 50 gallons of gas in reserve, because this stuff might go through the roof tomorrow morning. All right, and I remember people did it way, way, way back in 1990, when Iraq invaded Kuwait, which just happened to occur on my 18th birthday, and kind of was a real indicator for me that I might be going off to the Middle East shortly thereafter, as my basic training was just about to begin in the United States Army. So I remember people stocking up on gas then, and gas went up like $1.30 then. All right, we would cry for $1.30 then. But, you know, so those are just things you need to stay aware of. What's going on? What's the current status of the economy? You know, looking at the banking system. Be situationally aware of the banking system. I just told you on the podcast, there's 2 more banks failed this weekend. Now, they were small regional banks. The press is saying it is no big deal. Mutual of Omaha came in and bought them out. Doesn't really affect anybody, yada, yada, yada. But when we start seeing a bank fail here, a bank fail there, and another bank fail, it starts to tell you that there's a systemic problem. So if you're sitting on financial institution stock in your 401k, get out of it. Okay? I mean, if you stand and watch this train hit you in the face, it's no different than a guy walking into a bank with a big bulge on his side, and you stand, you know, right behind him in line and wait for him to get up to the teller. Maybe that should tell you to either tip off the security guard or at least move toward the exit, right? But people don't think that way. They go, well, that's a danger in this economic turmoil in the world. There's always something going on. So that's why I cover these things too, to make sure that you understand that it's not just important to be situationally aware when you're walking down the street or when you're going into an obviously dangerous situation, but just about the world in general, the weather, everything around you. Stay aware. Stay aware at all times. I guess the simplest piece of advice I can give you is notice details. Pay attention to what's going on. The story I told you about the guy that looked at me, the way he looked at me, the way he looked at my arm, that little detail. If he just looked at me, and I didn't notice that he glanced at like my wrist, like to say, hey man, that's you're taking a risk here. Like, people are going to see that. That's a nice watch you got. That's a nice ring. Your lady, she's wearing a nice ring. That little detail, that quick glance here, there, and then at me. With just the look at me, I probably would have said, eh, you know, he's just wondering who I am or what I'm doing, or he's being friendly. The way that those things played together told me there was a dangerous situation. So notice details. You know, notice things that are out of place. Notice people that are out of place. It's hot outside today. We've dropped a whopping degree from 108 to 107 since I started this podcast. If I go somewhere and somebody's wearing long sleeves and a hoodie, right, and long pants, they don't make sense to me. Like, you shouldn't be dressed that way right now. That person may be up to something. I'm not going to necessarily give them a hard time or go call the police and say there's a guy wearing a hoodie here, but I'm going to observe their behavior and see if anything else is wrong. If you got a package in the mail from an address you didn't know that looks funny package, most people just open it. You know, I mean, we had terrorism going on right after 9/11 where people were being mailed anthrax. And people were just still, oh, I wonder who sent me this. Open it up. Yeah. Come on. I mean, you got to just really grab a hold of the fact that there are dangers out there, and it's important to stay aware of them. So hopefully, I know this was a brief podcast, but I wanted to get one in this afternoon on the drive home while I had a chance. And I wanted to, you know, just kind of point this one out, because I'm not going to try to stretch this thing another 20 minutes just to fill out a full podcast timeline, because it's really pretty simple when you think about it. And I can't overstate the importance of trusting your instincts. When you look at something and your gut says, that's not right, that doesn't feel right, that doesn't sit right, something bugs me about that, trust your instincts. I used to read a lot of books by a guy named Peter Hathaway Capstick. Again, Peter Hathaway Capstick, who wrote all these books on hunting dangerous game in Africa and South America. And if you're not a hunter, you know, you might read this guy's books and go, man, this guy killed a bunch of animals, and he's kind of a fur killer or something like that. But, you know, this guy hunted animals like leopards and lions, Cape Buffalo, and he did a lot of his hunting as a professional hunter in Africa. And a lot of the times when he was actually going after an animal would be after one of his clients screwed up the shot and injured it, and now it was sick and angry and mad and waiting in the bush, and you don't just leave it out there, you gotta go get it. He talks about doing that with leopards, and some of the stories about following up wounded leopards are just amazing, or Cape Buffalo or lions. And what he talks about a lot is this feeling, this knowledge that something's there. It's about to happen. Some primal instinct where the hair stands up on the back of your neck. And even though you haven't heard anything, and even though you haven't seen anything, you know the charge is coming. The leopard's coming. That Cape Buffalo is about to charge 2 tons of wild oxen, bull muscle, to stomp you to death. From just 2 feet away, and even though he's that big, you can't see him, but you know he's there. Or you're waiting at night in the dark for the jaguar, and you hear nothing, not a sound, but the hairs and the hackles go up on the back of your neck, and you know that he's there. Well, folks, that is in all men. You don't have to be a big game hunter to tap into that. That is in all of men. When I say men, I mean mankind, men and women alike. And I think a lot of times women, if you'll trust your instincts, you have better instincts than men. Because you have that inborn maternal protection of a child piece of you, even if you don't have a child yet. That's in you. It's part of your makeup. And you've got to trust that. You've got to trust that. When your gut tells you, just follow that compass. I think it'll go a long way to helping you out. And again, I'm going to kind of sum up, you know, just let that wrap today's podcast up. But I also wanted to point out, once again, that we are running our listener appreciation contest. So if you want to help us grow the podcast and you want to win a free iPod Nano, just go by thesurvivalpodcast.com, click on Listener Appreciation Contest, and enter our Listener Appreciation Contest. And again, you can win a free iPod Nano. Full details are there. I also want to thank everybody that's been commenting, emailing me feedback, giving me advice, giving me suggestions. Please keep doing it. If you've made a suggestion, I haven't done a show on it yet, it's probably that I'm doing the research to make sure I put together a well-information-packed show. I put this one together to make sure I had a show out tomorrow morning, and I didn't miss the opportunity to get one out nice and early for you, because it was one that I had enough information to just do. I've got some other shows planned for the rest of the week. We're going to do a show this week on equipping your vehicle as a emergency evacuation vehicle, or even a sustainability vehicle, because you can carry a lot more than you can, let's say, in a bug-out bag, like I did a podcast on that actually went out today, but it will be yesterday if you're listening to this podcast now. So I've got some other great plans like that, and I'm going to probably throw in one about the economy, some things that are going on, maybe Friday, and maybe I'll combine that on Friday with answers to some questions that you guys have been sending me. So if you have any additional questions, go ahead and get those in this week, and maybe they'll be part of our Friday podcast. Again, I'd like to thank you for tuning in, and remember, the Survival Podcast is where we help you figure out how to live a better life, whether times get tough or even if they don't.
You can scream, and you can holler, it really doesn't matter, 'cause it all gets spent.